Hello and welcome to the first monthly newscast brought to you by Procurement Express, which will cover a range of topical news stories, predominantly to do with procurement and supply, but not necessarily. So I do reserve the right to talk about anything I want. In addition to that, we will have from time to time guest speakers who will be able to give their perspective on current events affecting procurement. I'm Kala from Telso Procurement, and this month's news stories are: as tensions increase between Russia and the Ukraine, we have a look at the impact on global supply chains. The US Senate has introduced a modern slavery bill, and we'll look at the impacts on US firms and further afield of this legislation. And finally, we'll look at the sector that seems to have broken records during and post-pandemic, the luxury goods sector, and we look at the challenges they're facing to keep up with demand on the back of the pandemic. So the first story is that amid escalating tensions between Russia and Ukraine, a number of firms will be affected by the disruption caused. Supply Management Magazine has given some figures in terms of firms affected. So in the US, 1,100 firms, and in Europe, 1,300 firms are affected by having tier one suppliers either in the Ukraine or Russia. In addition to that, 5,000 firms are likely to be affected by their tier three suppliers who come from either Russia or the Ukraine. In terms of sectors that will be affected, I think the primary one is the energy sector. As you are probably well aware, gas prices have gone up tremendously, as well as oil price. I think the oil price today sits at or hovers around $100 per barrel. So this will have knock-on effects on prices. Food prices as well. Something which I didn't know is that Ukraine is the third largest corn exporter in the world, and Ukraine is the top exporter of wheat in the world. So there will, you know, certainly be knock-on effects in terms of disruption in any supply chains that include those commodities. There will also likely, and we're seeing it already, be export controls or restrictions or sanctions, which will restrict the supply of products coming out of either Ukraine and particularly Russia. And again, this will increase the price of raw materials, which will work their way up the supply chain to your own organizations and affect the prices that you pay. And finally, cybersecurity. The Global Trade magazine has stated that there's a threat of malicious cyber activity. In 2017, there was an attack on a Ukrainian tax reporting software, which spread across the world, affecting ports, manufacturing plants, and government agencies in the United States. The Bank of New York actually stated that, you know, a number of companies, including Maersk Shipping and FedEx, lost a total of $7.3 billion as a result of that particular malicious virus. So I think from a procurement and supply perspective, the first thing that we need to be doing is carrying out risk assessments on our critical supplies to assess to what extent those supply chains are exposed to the tensions in Russia and Ukraine. And on the back of the risk assessments, which means, you know, talking to suppliers, asking questions about their own suppliers and their, you know, the third tier suppliers, and on the back of that assessment, to then think about mitigation strategies. So such mitigation strategies could be to evaluate the level of inventory that you currently have and in the medium term. Also consider business continuity plans with your suppliers to ensure that you minimize the disruption in the event that there is disruption. And prepare to switch or qualify new suppliers. Have a plan B, preferably more local suppliers who are not dependent or not exposed to the conflict or the tensions arising in Ukraine and Russia. The next story is that two US senators have introduced a bill to eradicate modern slavery. The name of the bill is the Slave Free Business Certification Bill, and it's been brought by Senator Josh Hawley, a junior senator from Missouri, and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a junior senator from New York. Now, this is on a bipartisan basis, so it's likely to enjoy a successful passing through the legislature. And the question is, well, what impacts will it have on US organizations and companies abroad? Now, the bill itself actually stipulates that any company in either the mining or the manufacturing sector That could include clothing or smartphone production that has a turnover over £500 million, must have a statement or must publish a statement signed off by the board of directors, which essentially states that there is no modern slavery going on in their supply chain, and any modern slavery reports that have come about have been fully reported and made public, and you know the necessary actions that need to be done have been done or are being done. So I think from an organizational point of view, whether you work for a company that is, you know, that does have revenue over 500 million, or potentially you are a supplier to an organization that has a turnover of $500 million, you will be expected to look into your supply chains as far as modern slavery is concerned. Now there are a number of steps you can take to initiate that process. The first thing, if you don't already have one, is to come up with a modern slavery statement, which again is signed off by your board, which articulates your value and your position against modern slavery and your zero tolerance toward modern slavery. But in addition to that, talks about the steps that you are taking to identify any gaps in your supply chains that, you know, allow for modern slavery to take place, and what you will do about them in the event that you find those gaps in supply chains. In addition to that, identifying risks in your current suppliers. So think about it in terms of geographies, potentially where your supply chains extend to developing countries. There may be more pressure on modern slavery, which is not to say that modern slavery doesn't go on in developed countries. It certainly does. So that too needs to be looked at. Also in terms of commodities, especially at the primary sector stage or the extraction stage, where the potential for, you know, child labor, forced labor is likely to go on. And also to look at or highlight workers' risks. So potentially have a whistleblowing policy, not just in your own organization, but encourage your suppliers in your supply chain to also have whistleblowing policies that, you know, allow early identification of any breaches in modern slavery to come to light. In addition, it's worth thinking about supply chain due diligence, which essentially means having some kind of qualification verification process, especially from your tier one suppliers and beyond, to understand what steps they are currently taking in terms of vigilance to identify and eradicate any modern slaveries in their own supply chain. Also to ensure that they have a mission statement which states their values and their, you know, zero tolerance towards modern slavery. And, you know, having such measures in place will make it more likely that you will win business with companies who have a revenue of over 500 million, because that's what they'll be looking for if this legislation goes through. And, you know, in addition, help you retain business if you already have business with such companies. And the final story for this month is that whilst many sectors have struggled during the pandemic and post-pandemic, one sector that hasn't struggled is the luxury goods sector. And there are a number of examples to support this. The first is that Rolls-Royce in 2021 sold the most cars they've ever sold in a year in their 114-year history. They sold 5,586 cars, which suggests that, in addition, champagne, the go-to drink for success, sales hit a record $5.7 billion, which is a 14% increase on pre-pandemic levels. Which suggests that, you know, during the pandemic and post-pandemic, people that did have money decided what the heck they were going to spend that money, because I think if there's one thing that the pandemic brought home is that you want to make the most of life. And, you know, for those people that do have the money, I think they've expressed that through buying Rolls Royces and drinking a lot of champagne. Another example of that is Hermès. So Hermès make luxury bags, which I'm sure some of you are familiar with, if not own. And they haven't made record profits in 2021. However, the reason that they haven't made record profits is because they couldn't keep up with demand. So essentially, they had to say no to a lot of customers because they simply didn't have enough bags available for the demand that was out there. And that demand came particularly from the United States and China. And there's been such a lack of supply of bags that actually the secondhand market for Hermes, particularly Birkin bags, secondhand bags are actually as expensive, if not more expensive than the new bags. And I think there are a couple of other luxury products such as Rolex watches, Patek Philippe watches that have a similar trade where the used market prices are just as much as the new, you know, the new product prices. Now, Hermes has come out to say they are committed to increasing supply of bags. So they're going to open 3 new factories in France. And excuse my French pronunciation, but the 3 towns of where the new factories are going to be built are Louyer and Saumon and Riom in France, to produce more bags to keep up with demand. And when I read this, I did think about, you know, what is the supply chain for making a Hermes bag? And by the way, we're talking about bags that range from $5,000 to, I think the most that has been purchased was for £300,000. So these are high-end luxury bags. And the one for £300,000 was actually made out of crocodile skin leather. So, you know, it did get me thinking, you know, if you're trying to ramp up supply, what is the supply chain like, and can the supply chain bear the increase in demand? So I have some numbers here in terms of, you know, what it takes to supply these bags from Hermes's point of view. Currently, they have 4,300 artisans or leather workers who actually make the bags themselves. It takes 15 hours to make a bag, a Hermes bag. And the chairman, Axel Dumas, stated that they are not prepared to produce bags faster. In other words, make bags in, let's say, 13 hours, because potentially that could affect quality, so they're going to stick to the 15 hours it takes to make a bag. And one bag contains up to 15 suppliers, and these suppliers are to do with the straps, the zips, the handles, and they range from countries, or the suppliers range from countries such as Italy, South America, and Portugal. So it's quite a diverse supply chain. And as I said, you're talking about some exotic materials such as crocodile skin. And actually, you know, 5 years ago, there were allegations against Hermes in terms of unethical suppliers from their crocodile skin suppliers. So, you know, potentially all well and good that Hermes want to increase the supply to meet the demand, but they also have to recognize that it may have a knock-on effect on their supply chains in terms of risk. The increased demand could force suppliers to cut corners to ensure that they can meet those demand. Particularly, you know, materials like crocodile skin. I'm not quite sure what the actual production or what it takes to produce crocodile skin for bags is, but increase in demand could put pressure and increase the temptation on suppliers to act unethically in terms of making sure they have sufficient stock to supply Hermes. And therefore, it's incumbent on Hermes that whilst they're increasing their supply of the bags to meet the new demand, they equally apply sufficient resources to address potential increase in risks of unethical supply. So, look, that rounds up today's monthly newscast. If you have any news stories that you'd like us to cover during next month, please feel free to get in contact with procurementexpress.com, and I'll be happy to talk about it then. Thank you very much for listening.